Revelation chapter 19. In the bulletin, I put Revelation chapter 19 for this morning, chapter 20 for tonight. I had to change my plans, and sometimes I get to pushing and kind of get ahead. Well, after evaluation, I thought, okay, we can't do Revelation 19 and 20 today because there's just too much good stuff here. And so today we're going to do about half the chapter, and tonight we're going to do the other half of chapter 19. But we're looking and we're coming at a supernatural rejoicing point as the Lord Jesus begins to take His rightful place as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Would you stand with me as we read from Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. John says, "After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His saints shed by her." Again they said, "Alleluia!" And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. Alleluia." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." I just like the sound of that, don't you? Amen. "The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints." Then He said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And He said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at His feet to worship Him. But He said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Dale, would you lead us in prayer this morning? Amen. You may be seated. Super Sunday. This thing, it is a Super Sunday. You know that, but it's not a football game that makes it super. It makes it super that we're gathered together in the presence of God. We have the promise of God's Word that He's among us. Do you realize that the presence of Jesus Christ is just as real as you and I today? He's here. He's here. And as I look at this scene that we find in Revelation chapter 19, it's a great scene of worship. And the reason that it's such a great scene of worship is because we have reached a point in history or a point in time that we've been waiting on for some 6,000 years. That's why I said a while ago, what a tremendous statement when it says the Lord God omnipotent reigns. You see, the owner, the creator, the supreme being, the highest of the high, the all-powerful, the almighty God is coming to a point where He is about to set things right. We're coming to that point at the end of the great tribulation. Jesus is going to assume His rightful place as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and all of heaven breaks out in awesome praise because, number one, of that great reunion that we have waited for so very long. I like the way John put it. He said, "I heard with a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. I like multitude worship. What about you? Listen, there's private worship that I enjoy, and I know that you enjoy, and times when you just lock the closet and spend with God, but there's nothing like a multitude that lift up their voice in praise and honor to our great God. And that's what John is hearing here. And this great multitude, I guess the first question we could ask is, who is this great multitude? Well, glory, it's the saints of all the ages. Okay? I want you to think about that for just a moment. And that's a great reason for celebration. Because the saints of all the ages are going to be there. The heroes of the faith, the Old Testament saints like Noah. Do you ever think about talking to Noah? Noah, what was it like building that ark? What was it like being a preacher of righteousness in a world that was completely godless? Can you imagine meeting Noah? Can you imagine meeting Abraham and having Abraham explain what it was like to offer your son as a sacrifice, or Moses, David, and Solomon? Can you imagine being in the presence of great men like that? Can you imagine being in the presence of the New Testament saints? Peter, James, and John, the Apostle Paul. Paul, what did it feel like to be stoned? It hurt. But can you imagine just being in their presence? Can you imagine the reunion that's going to take place? I've known some saints during my lifetime that I look forward to seeing again. They're already gone to be with the Lord. You know those saints that taught that Sunday school class as a child, and there's a special person that I remember as a child, a man who just always seemed to have time for us kids. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. There's been senior saints, you know, that were special as I grew up and have gone on to be with the Lord. And I look forward to being in their presence. But the thing that makes this such a joyful, jubilant occasion is that, beloved, we as God's children and with those saints of old are going to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine looking upon Jesus for the first time? Oh, I think we'll learn how to say hallelujah. You don't hear that in worship services much anymore. Hallelujah. Oh, but these saints in the presence of the Lamb, crying with a loud voice, and I like the loud because I like wholehearted worship. What about you? Crying with a loud voice, hallelujah, shouting salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord God. I mean, what an occasion. And you have to understand also the occasion that we're coming up to. It's not only that great reunion that will be in the sky of all the saints of all the ages, but Jesus is just about to take control and assume his rightful place as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We've been looking forward to that day since the Garden of Eden some 6,000 years ago. But since that time, as Satan deceived Adam and Eve and he led them down that path of sin, and they responded to Satan's deception, things just haven't been right with Jesus since. We have a world that today is completely turned their back on God. A world that doesn't want God in the public view. A world that does not want to hear you pray in Jesus' name. A world that just has completely rejected God Almighty. But we're reaching a point in history when it does not matter what the world wants anymore. Jesus is about to be the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He will rule. And that's exciting. That is exciting. The false prophet, Satan, the Antichrist, are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and Jesus is going to administer justice as he judges. And his justice, his judgments, it says, are right. There will be no favoritism, no prejudice, no anything except truth. Well, we've been waiting for that so long. Can you imagine coming to that day where there's no more gay rights parades? No more abortion? No more pornography? No more immorality? No more drugs that have destroyed lives? There's only good as Jesus sits upon the throne. See, we're coming upon that 1,000-year reign. I look forward to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's what chapter 20 is about. But we're going to close this tribulation period. And that's what we're doing. Bringing this 7-year great tribulation, or the last 3.5 years is considered great tribulation, and bringing it all to an end. That's why they're celebrating. Second reason they're celebrating is because of the bride. Now, who is the bride? That's easy. The church, right? Amen? Well, that's who it is, whether you amen it or not, right? And what I want you to understand, you have to, before you can get a full grip, and we can't cover all the bride this morning, okay? That's why I say we have to do part of it tonight. There are some things you need to know as a child of God about the bride. And so I invite you back tonight. You really need to know. But we start with the church, of course, is the bride. And the first thing I want you to understand is the relationship that the bride is supposed to have with Jesus. See, right now we're betrothed to Christ. We've received the engagement ring of the Spirit. Okay? The earnest of the Spirit, as the Bible puts it. One of these days in heaven, we're going to be permanently joined eternally to the Son of God. But right now, we're betrothed. And the first building block of this special relationship that the church has with Jesus Christ, it is built upon love. I counsel with couples all the time, and I find it very interesting, and I can't help but smile when I talk to them and they say, "Oh, I love him," and "Oh, I love her," and I just smile and I think, you know, you really like her right now. But wait till you go through 30, 40, and 50 years of the battle of this life, and she remains by your side and holding your hand and picking you up and carrying you through. That's when you learn love, you know. I want to tell you something. Jesus started it upon the cross of Calvary. He showed His love toward us. He committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And every step of the way since His life, He has been with the church, and He's been building His church and providing the love. You know, when you go into God's church, you can just tell that you're in the Lord's church. You know why? You can feel the love. Amen? If we can't feel the love, we need to start loving. Okay? But you can tell, because you can feel that love that has been placed there, demonstrated by Jesus Christ, that selfless love. And the reason for that love, and grab this, because this isn't preached very much. The purpose of that love is, of course, our salvation, but it is the intimate relationship that we're supposed to have with our beloved. Okay? Did you know you're supposed to be intimate with Christ? You're supposed to have a closeness, a fellowship, so that if you're away from Christ, that there's something missing. Been married. This year is going to be 30 years for Beth and I. Bless her heart. She has kept me for 30 years. And I appreciate her for that. And through those years, we have grown in closeness. We fought the battles of life together. And you know, when she's away, things aren't right in my life. When she goes, you know, she'll go visit her mom for a day or two, or she'll go do a ladies' conference for a day or two. And you know, at night it comes bedtime, And I think, okay, I'm going to bed. And you know what? I can't sleep. Because she's not there. You see, that's the way our relationship with Jesus Christ is supposed to be. That if we're not in that intimate, that personal relation where Jesus is a part of our everyday life, where we're acknowledging and walking in His direction every step that we take. If it's not there, then there's just something deep inside that says, you know, it's not right. I'm bothered. You see, that's what being a bride of Christ is about. The bride that's built on love. And I want to call your attention to the book of Ephesians. Turn over there. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to talk about the bride a little bit and what it's supposed to be. And we use Ephesians chapter 5 as the marriage counseling scripture. But I want to tell you something. Paul didn't write it to do marriage counseling. He wrote it to do church counseling in the church relationship toward God. As a matter of fact, that's what he said. He said in verse 32, chapter 5, he said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Okay? The goal of this, it gives that perfect example of relationship in between a husband and wife. But his goal is to describe and to present that picture that we're supposed to have with Christ as His church. And we start in verse 22 where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." And listen, we say it's the church, but, okay, who's church made of? Members. That's us. Amen. Okay, so this is personal direction on our relationship with Jesus Christ and what it's supposed to be right here and right now. He says, Ephesians 5:22, "Wives," that's us, we're the wives here, "wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ. So let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything." And I've seen husbands take this, say, "That's right, my wife's supposed to obey me. She's to be subject, and she doesn't listen to a thing I say." Well, first thing we need to do is to ask ourselves, are we subject to Christ? Okay? If you want the right relationship with Christ, this betrothed bride relationship with Christ, you're first going to have to submit. And that means to arrange oneself under the control of another and to do that voluntarily. Meaning, as the bride, Jesus is our first and foremost priority. We voluntarily arrange ourselves under Him, under His control and under His influence. And He comes before us. He comes before anything that this world might throw in the way. That's what it means to submit. Now I ask you the question. Before you can really get on track with being a good bride, you got to deal with this. Are you submitted? Have you said, "Christ, Jesus, here am I, send me. Lord, take my life, do with me as you please." You know why we don't do that? Because we're afraid God's going to do something we don't want Him to. But the thing is, God knows what's right. God knows what we need. And God, as the husband of the bride, as the loving husband, is only going to do what is best for us. You see, it's that age-old Satan, deception that Satan has planted in our ears that says, "God's trying to mess up your life. Don't do it. God's trying to mess up your life." Satan is a liar. God's not trying to mess up your life. He's trying to make your life something special in a special, intimate relationship with Him. And it starts with your submission. Are you there? Be subject to Christ because He's the head of the body. He's the one that knows what's going on. He's the one that knows what's best for us. He's the one that's the Savior of the body, the deliverer, the rescuer from danger. Let us be subject to Him in everything. Everything. What have you declared off limits to God? God, don't go. You have all this, but there's one thing I keep for myself. No. No. Be subject in all things. Let's continue to read. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And He gave Himself for it that He might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word, that He might present, and grab this, He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, I mean, there's just no question about Christ's love. Amen. I mean, Christ loved us. Amen. He's proven His love. Amen. And He's saved us for those who have made a commitment and committed their lives to Him. He has saved you that He might present His church, you, to Himself. A glorious church, an honored church, an esteemed church. You know, have you ever noticed that one of the most beautiful days in a lady's life is her wedding day? Have you ever noticed that? I have, and I mean this in all honesty, I cannot recollect, and I have done a trainload of weddings, I don't recall ever seeing an ugly bride. I don't know what it is, but I've never seen an ugly bride. And how special it is as the father walks that bride down the aisle and places her hand in the hand of the bridegroom. It's very touching to me every time. And that's kind of the impression you get over here in Revelation chapter 19. As the glorious church is presented or set at the side of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, the history has brought us to this point. You know, it's been all about looking forward to this day in Revelation chapter 19, where we are for an eternity joined to Jesus and will enjoy a relationship like we have never, ever enjoyed before. As we're presented without spot. Now listen, I keep saying we're, but we're going to have to qualify. Everybody thinks they're going to be in the bride of Christ. I don't think everybody is. Okay? So as we go through this, I want you to be reminded, this is what a bride is supposed to be. But she's going to be presented without spot or without blemish. Another thing I've learned in the weddings that I've done is the bride deeply cares about what she looks like. Amen. Whew, man. Year and a half ago, we married off our middle daughter, Amy. And you know, for months before that, it was all about getting ready for the wedding, get the dress, get this, get that, you know. They went wedding dress shopping one day. And they go to the wedding dress store. I knew better than to go. It just wouldn't have been a good idea for me to go, right? Beth didn't want me to go. but they went. And they called me. They said, "Daddy, I've got a dress." Well, good, darling. I'm glad. Good. Is it pretty? Oh, yes, Dad, it's pretty. Then I talked to Beth, and you know what the first thing I asked Beth? How much was it? You know what Beth said? You don't want to know. To this day, I still don't know what the dress cost. And she's right, it's best that I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something, when she walked down the aisle, she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life, second only to Beth. 30 years ago when we got married. Oh, she was beautiful in that white, spotless, without blemish wedding dress. And I, as a dad, man, I was so proud. We're going to talk more about this tonight, but I do want to call your attention back to Revelation 19. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has what? Made herself ready. She's made herself ready. Oh, you don't just jump up one day and get married, do you? Most brides don't do that. They want to make themselves ready. You see, that's what we're doing as a church right now, and you as a member, that's what you should be doing, is making yourself ready. Getting ready for that precious and wonderful, awesome day. Verse 8 of chapter 19. She's made herself ready, and to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Like I said, we're going to get more to this tonight, but right here you begin to understand that this bride position is not for everybody. Because there's a lot of people that they're saved, but that's all they are. They've called on Jesus Christ to save them. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that's as far as they go. They're not a people who have respect for church because they don't come. And listen, I've had people tell me multiple times, well, I don't believe in church. Well, if you don't believe in church, you need to examine your heart, because obviously Jesus does. Okay? And it's important to Him. And if it's important to Him, it should be important to you and I. Okay? But it was granted to her. That word grant, it means to entrust or to give someone an opportunity and entrust them with something. You know what? I understand our righteousness are as filthy rags, and there's nothing we can do of ourselves. But you know what is absolutely wonderful? It is absolutely wonderful that Christ lives through us. Okay? And He has chosen us to be His representatives upon this earth. Isn't that awesome? And you see the good things that go on, the souls that are saved, the lives that are changed, the missionaries that are supported. It's not because of you and I. It's just because Christ is working through you and I. But the key is that you and I have to make ourselves available and willing to be for Christ to work through us. We have to care. We have to have a desire to let Jesus be the Lord of our lives. Back to the book of Ephesians. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. As I said before, right now we're betrothed to Christ. But we are approaching that day when we shall be forever joined to Jesus, and there be an eternal oneness such as we've never known before. But right now is our time to get ready. Okay? That's what this life is about. This life is not about whoever gets the most toys and whoever has the biggest name in society, who's the most popular. It's not. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. 6,000 years ago, we were robbed by Satan. Oh, but Revelation chapter 19, we're going to be restored. And we will be united with Him for eternity. Listen, my friends. Have you ever watched a bride preparing for her wedding day? Oh, she's looking forward to it. Have you ever noticed that? Man, she's looking, you know, 3 more days, 2 more days, 1 more day. And she just can't wait to that moment when she walks down the aisle. I said everyone that's saved will not be part of the bride of Christ. But I believe that everybody ought to want to. Okay? And I believe everybody that we all should be preparing for that day when we're placed, when the bride of Christ is placed beside Jesus. And that wedding ceremony, that marriage of the Lamb, has come. Oh, what a day that'll be. John was so overwhelmed as he saw all this transpiring. He was so overwhelmed there in verse 10. He said, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." He was talking about that angel that, or that messenger that he was dealing with and that was showing him all this. He fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant." He says, "It's not about me. It's about the bridegroom, Jesus." I want to challenge you today and ask you the question: what's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's just be blunt. Number one, are you submissive? Well, Brother Doug, I'm as submissive as the next guy. It's not about the next guy. It's about you and Christ. You know? I don't want... in Beth and my relationship, I don't want her comparing herself to any other woman. I'm not married to any other woman. I'm married to her. She's the precious, special lady of my life. And I ask you again, have you submitted? Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. If not, perhaps today's a day of rededication. Because I want to tell you something for sure. Revelation chapter 19 will happen. Okay? We shall come to this point sooner or later. And now we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ and what all that means. But this, we're going to get to this point. Before we get there, you need to ask yourself, what relationship do I have with Christ? Number one, do you have one? Are you saved? Okay? Are you saved? Have you come to the point where you've called on Jesus and committed your life to Him? If not, Brother Doug, I'm a church member. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. You can have your name on every church in Pope County and still not be saved. Okay? Have you committed your life to Christ? If not, this morning's the day. Start your walk with Him. Second, have you submitted? Is He the priority of your life? If not, today's the day to rededicate. Have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? If not, today's the day to submit for baptism. Perhaps the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. If the Lord wants you here, then we want you here. Amen? Okay? If the Lord wants you here, today's the day to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would invite you, as God leads you in this invitation, say yes to Jesus. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And thank you, Lord, for this beautiful picture of your bride. Lord, I pray that we'll be mindful of our responsibilities as a part of your church, your body, Lord. And I pray that it'll be important to us to be a part of that bride. Lord, I pray that this invitation, you knowing the need of every heart and every life, Lord, that you'll just move and stir the spirits, convict where it's needed, lead, guide, and make us responsive to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.